This is Jay Sekulow. The White House press secretary gives a shocking answer when asked about anti-Semitism.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We've got a lot to talk about. The situation in the Middle East is also spawning anti-Semitism in the United States, around the world actually, but it's reached a horrible pitch. And we're seeing this on college campuses in unbelievable numbers. We're in fact setting up a helpline for students that are being harassed, because Jewish students and some Christian students that are also supporting Israel are being harassed because of their statement in support of Israel, mostly by these Palestinian student organizations. I said yesterday in the broadcast, George Washington University did a magnificent job in a piece they put out about the real face of Hamas, and it's worth reading. But we're seeing this on college campus after college campus in huge numbers, and CeCe, up and down the coast.
Absolutely.
I mean, and coast to coast, actually.
That's right. Coast to coast, we are seeing it. And we see that these kids that are supporting the Palestinian, what they call their plight, they're very vocal, they're very bold, and they're very loud.
And very organized.
Very organized, and it is intimidating.
You know, I noticed, I talked about this yesterday, there was an event in Geneva in front of the UN, and it was interesting because there was like almost 1,000 people showed up for the pro-Israel, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
But then 4,000 counter-protesters on the Palestinian Authority side.
It's been 20 years probably or more of university indoctrination by people, you know, pushing an anti-Israel, anti-Semitic messaging under the guise of anti-Zionism. I mean, that's really been the whole thing. We don't really mean anti-Semitism. We mean anti-Zionism. What has been very clear, and what I think has been a wake-up call, actually, to what is left of the true liberals.
Yeah.
This has been a wake-up call to them. That is why you see, actually, hundreds. If you see, there's a new letter to the president, to President Biden, that was put together by Hollywood with hundreds of celebrities. And it goes from, your Dean Cain on the far right to people on the far left who have now come together and said, we have to condemn this. We have to be working towards more solutions. And what I think is that big wake-up call is seeing what's happening on the college campuses, because it's absurd. It's disgusting. And now it's not even like put under the anti-Zionism,
Interesting on that.
It's horrible to begin with.
No, it is. Interesting on all that, of course, is the fact, and this is that these college campuses, the presidents of these universities were saying nothing. But worse than that, maybe, the president's spokesman, Karim Jean-Pierre, when asked about anti-Semitism, take a listen to the question, and listen to the answer.
Level of concern right now about the potential rise of anti-Semitism in light of everything that's going on in Israel?
So a couple of things. We have not seen any credible threats. I know there's been always questions about credible threats. Just want to make sure that that's out there. But look, Muslim and those perceived to be Muslim have endured a disproportionate number of hate-fueled attacks. And certainly President Biden understands that many of our Muslim, Arab Americans and Palestinian American loved ones and neighbors are worried about the hate being directed at their communities.
Was the question about Muslims being threatened and attacked? Because can we just play the question? Listen to the question again, folks.
Level of concern right now about the potential rise of anti-Semitism in light of everything that's going on in Israel.
So never once out of her mouth came the word anti-Semitism, Jewish or pro-Israel. Not once. But Muslim, Arab Americans, Palestinians, that was the entire answer. Now, this shows you how absurd this is. So we've got a media issue to add to the legal issues that we're already dealing with. And then, as CeCe said, the student campuses, which we're going to talk more about in the next segment. Let me just say this, folks. Support the work of the ACLJ and become an ACLJ champion. Because when you do give monthly to the ACLJ, you are literally an ACLJ champion. You're standing for life. You're standing for freedom. You're standing for Israel. And it's important to do it. All you need to do is go to ACLJ.org/champions. We had 50 join yesterday. My goal for the month is 2,000. I think we're going to get there, or maybe very close to it, which would be incredible. ACLJ.org/champions. Just become a recurring monthly donor. You really help us out on all these issues. Back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110 in a moment.
Welcome back to Secula. We are joined by Jeff Balaban, who's live. We're going to keep this discussion going, Dad.
Yeah, so the House Democrats have even started slamming the White House press secretary because of her non-answer on the anti-Semitism question. A friend of Jordan who's been on this broadcast, Congressman Jared Moskowitz, wrote, "What a weak answer, and why are you looking in the book? What's the approved answer?" The answer is simply, yes, we are concerned about the rise of anti-Semitism. And then he goes on. So this is an issue. We're also having this on college campuses in a big way. Jeff Balaban's joining us, who runs our office in Israel. He's in New York right now. But Jeff, let's talk about the situation with students. And we, by the way, if you're a student that's listening, we're going to start putting this on social media. We're going to get it out on all of our platforms. If you're a student that needs help because you're being harassed or on your campus, we have ACLJ lawyers that are willing and able, ready, able, and willing to do that. But Jeff, this is a real problem taking place right now. And it's not just in New York and it's not just in California. It's all over.
No, and these two things, Jay, are directly linked. The fact that this is the narrative by the White House spokesperson, the fact that this is the narrative from college campus leaders, from the faculty, from the administration, where there's total disregard, complete disregard for Jewish students, for people who support Israel, for people who happen to be Jewish, whether they support Israel or not. In fact, they're aggressively going against them. So obviously we aren't able to say publicly exactly who some of these students are, but we represent students right now at ACLJ who are being attacked by their schools, by their administrations, because they have expressed concerns about, for example, days of rage, days of resistance that groups have been calling for, which means literally calling for genocide, and have resulted across the country in violence, physical violence against Jewish students.
You know what's interesting to me on this? There are schools with a significant Jewish population, and yet these Palestinian student groups are so organized, they can overpower in number, Cece, than a school that has a pretty heavy Jewish population.
Yeah, and that's what we're seeing. It's absolutely, it's just a few kids, but they have the loudest voices, and they are totally willing to go in and disrupt these college campuses, and they're shouting, you know, spewing their support for terrorists. Again, you know, we hear it said over and over by so many people. These kids don't even know what they're saying. They don't even know what they're doing. They're openly supporting terrorists. And that is what they're doing. And they're intimidating the Jewish students, like you said, who are really the majority on a lot of these campuses.
Yeah, and we've got to work then with the administration through the legal process within universities to get that stopped. And we can. So I want people to know that we can get it done. But here's another interesting fact, Jeff. One of the founders of the Democratic Socialists of America, Maurice Iserman, left the DSA to protest the current DSA's leadership's politically, this is his words, and morally bankrupt response to the horrific Hamas October 7th anti-Jewish pogrom, that's what he called it, that took the lives of 1,400 people, mostly civilians, and the 200-plus hostages. He left the DSA over this. So there is starting to be, we're starting to see this. Logan said it earlier. You're starting to see all of a sudden the realization that the horrific nature of what's taking place here is something that civilized society has never experienced really since the Holocaust.
Well, that's true. But I want to bring it back to what you were talking about before, Jay, which is what's happening from the White House. Now we have the most prominent spokesperson for this administration, who we, Jay, at ACLJ, we warned about this. I spoke about this on the air. Jordan wrote about this, published about this. It's up on the ACLJ website. She herself comes from an organization to the White House. That organization directly was anti-Semitic, used this kind of language about Jews, not about right-wing Jews, not about settlers, whatever you want to call them, about the most centrist Jews, calling them Islamophobic, racist, just propagating all kinds of vicious anti-Semitism. What I'm concerned about now is this is not a mistake that she decided not to talk about Jews being hurt. Is she's doing a ploy that many anti-Semites use, which is when you say anti-Semitism, they only apply that to Arabs. They say, well, Arabs are Semites. Now, anti-Semitism, we understand, is a word that means one thing. It means Jew hatred. It was actually coined by a Jew hater to define what he meant. That's what it means. They're saying, well, because Arabs are Semites, we're going to say that now they're the ones we have to worry about. So literally they're taking the Jews suffering, the attacks on Jews, and going to the ones doing it and saying we have to protect them. So from the White House to the campus leadership, Jews are in danger because of those messages.
You want to play this bite? So we want to do, all right, we're going to hear actually a little bit more from Corinne Jean-Pierre at this press briefing.
Does the president view anti-Israel protests and sentiment on college campuses as anti-Semitism?
So look, I'm not going to get into what's happening across the country and at different universities. Not going to get into the specifics. As the admiral said, the First Amendment right? That's what something, and peaceful protest is really part of our democracy, being able for folks to be able to express their feelings. I'm not going to get into any, specifics on that.
Why can't they say we abhor anti-Semitic protests on college campuses? I mean, Jeff, why is that so difficult to say?
By the way, you notice the double standard here, right? Which is to say free speech is all of a sudden okay when it's literally leading to Jews being beaten up on campus, when they're calling for genocide. That's okay. But God forbid you say something that offends somebody on the left, and then you literally will throw you off of campuses. You're right, Jay. The simple answer to this should have been yes. This is such an important marker. This should be a moment where there's a complete public outcry for her to be thrown out of this job. This is insane. And we need to absolutely, I mean, Biden himself, he's been expressing support. I would like to see it stronger, you know that. But this is an unacceptable, should be unacceptable to any rational American.
Yeah, sadly, I think it's actually pretty commonplace. It's been pretty commonplace. I think the idea of it being sort of isolated to universities is a lot of these people came out of universities in the last 20 years. This is where it may have happened. It's happened there, and it's happened, honestly, in the evangelical church the last few years, where the support of Israel has waned and the propaganda has kind of seeped its way in. We've seen it on a double front, and frankly, it's just sad to see. But I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised. It actually is a lot of people who are the majority of these students on campus who are, yes, they may be misinformed, but they believe that Israel bad, anyone else good.
Yeah, including Hamas.
Oh, yeah. So don't get it some other way that they're twisted to not think they're supporting terrorism. I know they think they support terrorism. They just believe these terrorists are the freedom fighters.
And then but they also are in favor of our, you know, backing Ukraine and all. I mean, the inconsistencies here are breathtaking in scope. Let's go ahead and take a call.
All right, let's go to Jeff, who is calling online too in Massachusetts. Jeff, you're on the air.
Thank you. Now, as far as universities are concerned, especially Harvard and the Ivy League schools, the key is don't feed the dragon. Parents, don't send your kids to Ivy League universities. Send them to trade school. Send them to places like Regent University, Liberty University. In other words, don't send your kids to places like Harvard. And when you do that, Harvard will dry up. Because
you know, it's interesting because Harvard University, there are law firms that said we're not hiring Harvard graduates anymore. There are big donors to those organizations, to those schools that have said I will never go donate a nickel because of the silence of the administration on all of this.
Yeah, and I think that's great. The caller is right. I mean, I think the dollar always runs kind of the agenda. And so if with these donors and with these CEOs making a statement directly to Harvard that if, hey, if you're a kid that did these anti-Semitism protests, we're not hiring you. And guess what? We're going to pull our money from Harvard. I think that's great. That's what needs to be done.
Yeah, let's take call number one, Logan.
Mike in New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hey, Mike.
Hi. I just want to say, would these students prefer the university to be run by Hamas or the State of Israel?
Yeah, well, ask the Palestinians in the Gaza who they really would rather have in control. And you know what they're going to say? The majority of them, they'd rather have Israel in control than Hamas. Jeff, that's a known fact. That unfortunately, Hamas, because they're running it, look, we're on the threshold of what I think is going to be a major incursion. Now, there's a lot, we're going to talk about later in the broadcast, there's a lot of politics at play with the military, but this situation is just that we haven't even seen the response yet from Israel on this. But this was a huge failure on Israel's part, too. I have to say it was a huge intelligence failure, Jeff.
Oh, colossal. I mean, there's nothing to compare it to since the creation of this modern state of Israel. Right. Nothing to compare it to. And I also think that it's a mistake to just say this is Hamas. I think that there are, you know, the Arabs living in Israel, many of them are in the army. They serve in the army. They know what they're protecting. It's not a question that Jews and Arabs can't coexist or Jews and Muslims can't coexist. It's an absurdity. These are cultures that are completely genocidal cultures. And the problem is it's been imported into our country. And we now have it in our country. And you see it pouring into the streets of our country. And this is something which people are beginning to wake up to. But if they think, well, this is some problem 6,000 miles away, no. It's a problem right here, right in America. And it's so necessary for us and for others to raise the alarm. People recognize what's happening here in this country.
You're right. All right, Jeff, we appreciate it. For those of you that are watching or listening, we encourage you to share this with your friends on whatever feed you're watching on. But also, as Jeff and I talked about early on with CeCe as well, that we're representing students that are being harassed. If you are a student or a parent of a student that's being harassed on campus for their pro-Israel sentiment, you have them contact aclj.org/help. That's our helpline, and we will get right on it. We've got lawyers dedicated to do this, so we're taking it seriously. Also, let me encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ and become an ACLJ champion, as almost 1,650 of you have. And stand with Israel. Be a champion for life, liberty, and freedom. A champion is a donor that donates each and every month, a recurring donation to the ACLJ. You become a champion. We have 15,000 of them. We want to get that up almost doubled in the next year. You know what we're working on. We delivered our Israel letter to our Stand with Israel letter to Benjamin Netanyahu today. So your support makes a huge difference. Go to aclj.org/champions. That's aclj.org/champions. Back with more in a moment. Discussion of what's happening in the Middle East, what we're doing, but I want to address something because I got a lot of personal phone calls on what's happening in the case in Georgia involving President Trump and others regarding the RICO case that had been brought, which we thought was absurd, quite frankly, and I still think it's absurd. But there has been a number of pleas in the last week, and people are saying, I can't believe people are pleading, and why are they doing this? Today, Jenna Ellis pled guilty to one count that was involved, not RICO, not fraud, but a reckless statement. And the reckless statement, she made a statement to the court saying she should have done more due diligence. People are saying, well, why are they taking a plea? Why are they not standing up and fighting on this? And let me tell you the reason why. In Fulton County, you're going to get a jury that has an animus percentage of about 85 to 90%. You may get one juror on there that voted for a Republican. Maybe. Maybe not. So that's number one, the reality of what you're doing. Number two, for some of these folks, like Jenna Ellis, and I think Ken Chesbrough too, a lawyer, they gave legal advice. And for that, they were facing multiple counts of a RICO charge that could have had jail time of 3 to 5 years. So you get an offer, lawyers negotiate pleas. 97% of cases are handled by pleas. And if you get a plea that says, A, no jail time, B, you're not pleading guilty to RICO, C, it's first offender, so in a certain amount of months, it's off your record. My legal advice would be to these people to take it. So those of you that are going, you know, posting, I can't believe these people are turning. It's not turning. First of all, you know, when someone says they're cooperating, it means that when they get asked a question, they have to tell the truth. That's what cooperating means. It's not making something up. But the point is, understand the nature of how difficult this is for the people that were left on the battlefield here in these cases, and there are a lot of them. So I am happy when I start seeing some of these people get this behind them. And I think for Jenna Ellis, I think for Ken Chesbrough, and for Sidney Powell, that matter, I think it was the right move. And in Jenna's case in particular,
move on with their lives.
Move on with their lives. Get this over with, because this is going to be around for 3 years, and going to trial is a no-win situation.
Yep. All right. You want to continue on?
I do want to continue on.
All right. Go ahead.
You want to take? Let's take a call.
Yeah, let's take a call. We can reset here. Let's go to Neil, who's calling in Virginia on line 5. Neil's watching on YouTube. So, Neil, welcome.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to comment on your conversation earlier about the quietness of the silence of churches.
Yep.
If you go back and read the Barman Declaration along with the more current Manhattan Declaration, it's really problematic that our churches are so silent. Back in the 30s, under the rise of Hitler, you had the Barman Declaration, and the Lutheran churches were so silent, nobody would sign the declaration against Hitler or to say anything from the pulpit. Yeah. And we learned that that's so problematic in this country right now. Very few pulpits like where I'm at in Lynchburg, Virginia, with Jerry Falwell, who would come out with a moral majority from the pulpit, tell the parishioners, we have a responsibility as citizens.
Sure.
And he would explain why that responsibility was theirs.
Yeah, Neil, I think you have a good point, but I also think it's not just silence. That I think because of the maybe counterculture to what you're talking about, Jerry Falwell, the moral majority, in the 80s and the 90s, you saw the pendulum swing such far the opposite way to where, to me, it's no longer silence. They've been preaching anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian propaganda in the church for the last decade or so, very, very clearly. And then, sure, there are plenty of churches that stay silent on what you consider political issues. And you know what? I don't necessarily know if I blame them, honestly, as much as I blame the ones who decided that we are going to make these big statements, and we're going to make those big statements in a way that is uneducated, uninformed, but seems cool in the moment. Because that's all that is your pastor deciding to rely on what they're seeing on social media and what they're seeing on CNN and saying, well, that must be the truth.
Yeah.
And then you saw it swing the other way. And I think, though I'm not saying that the moral majority or the Christian coalition, those are to blame, because that sounds like a bad word here. But because of that, you had it had to swing at one point, and it didn't swing, you know, somewhere in the middle. It swung all the way to the left. And we're seeing that now aggressively in churches, to where you're right. Okay. There's really two choices. They're silent, or they are taking a big, big stand against what's happening in Israel.
All right, but let's be clear. Okay, I'm talking to pastors out there. If you're on your pulpit and doing a moral equivalency over Hamas and Israel, I want you to think about what happened. There are 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 now dead Jews. That's pretty blunt, including babies and Holocaust survivors because of Hamas's attack. 1,400 are dead, brutalized in ways we can't even discuss on radio. It's so disgusting. And then to have condemnation of Israel when that hospital was, the rocket fell on the hospital, which was launched by Hamas, and everybody knows it now. But that was all that was an excuse to allow these groups to mobilize. But what Logan said is right. Don't make this a moral equivalent. The pendulum hasn't only swung the other way. It's reached a proportion where I think it's dangerous. Because it's dangerous for Western civilization. Because let me tell you something. The Middle East gets engulfed in flames, you're looking at World War III. One of the things we're going to talk about is the fact that the Pentagon now knows that Iranian fingerprints or on these recent attacks of U.S. troops. This was from the same administration that was trying to deny it was Iran involvement in the Hamas attack. And by the way, yesterday the Hamas leadership met with the Iranian leadership. So we know where this is coming from. Folks, this is of a scale that we have not seen in our lifetime. Okay? And the numbers are staggering. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on in Israel right now about when they're going to go in, when they're not going in. They're trying to get hostages out. That's a noble task. The Netanyahu government, and I like Benjamin Netanyahu. I've been a supporter of his. His government failed as far as the intelligence gathering went. He's ultimately responsible for that. That'll be looked at afterwards. But I think he's leading very strong right now in a horribly difficult situation. But there is no moral equivalency even under international law.
That's right. If your eyes are open at all, you know which side is evil. I mean, there's no not distinguishing that. And so it has to be people like we see at the UN. We see them always almost just blindly accusing Israel of problems. And just like Jeff said when he was on earlier, and he runs our office in Jerusalem, Arabs live in Israel side by side with Israelis, with Jews, and they have all the rights of the Jews, and they can serve in their army. They don't have to, but they choose to. So it is, you can see that there is freedom there, and that this is, Israel is a state where democracy does work, and you have all the Arabs in the surrounding area that their only goal is to extinguish Israel and the Jews. And again, if you have your eyes open, you know where the evil is. You know which side evil is, and Hamas is the definition of evil.
All right, as we head into the second half hour, I want to encourage you all to check out our website and consider becoming an ACLJ champion today. And what that is a monthly recurring donor. All you have to do is go to aclj.org/champion. It's a great way to stand with Israel right now. We have an office in Israel. Stand with Israel. Be a champion of life, liberty, freedom. All you need to do to help us work tirelessly to defend Israel, and of course, all the fights that are happening on our homeland. You can find it right now at aclj.org/champions. We also have a second half hour coming up on this broadcast. you don't get us on your local station, find us broadcasting live right now on Rumble, YouTube, ACLJ.org, or your favorite social media platforms. We are there. Go to ACLJ.org right now. Be right back with the second half hour of Seculo coming up.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We talked about in the first half hour the rise of anti-Semitism. I do want to say again, if you're a student experiencing hostility on your campus, contact us at aclj.org/help, and we'll get a lawyer right on it. We're already helping students around the country that are experiencing this kind of unbelievable harassment that's going on, and these administrations tend to do nothing, unfortunately. And we're going to keep fighting back on this and represent these students to the fullest capacity. We're also going to be talking about a bulletin that came out. We're going to talk about this in the next segment from the Customs and Border Patrol. This was from the San Diego field office. Can we stick it up on the screen just so I kind of let you know what's coming? And it's the concern that individuals inspired or reacting to the current Israel-Hamas conflict may attempt to travel to or from the areas of hostilities in the Middle East via a circuitous transit across the southwest border. Well, the truth of the matter is we know from our Freedom of Information Act litigation with Customs and Border Patrol and Homeland Security, they already have. But, you know, it's good that you're warning that there may be more, but this is why border security is so important. So this points to the fact that at the ACLJ, understand how we're handling this. We have an office in Jerusalem that's involved in it. Our European Center for Law and Justice was successful before the Council of Europe in getting a resolution for the first time in the history of that parliament condemning Hamas and calling for its elimination. It has never happened before. And our legal team went to work on it and got that resolution through. They did a great job. Gregor, Christoph, and our entire team did a great job. If you go to aclj.org, there's information up there. Our teams have been working the UN as well. We're preparing briefs for the international courts. We've already submitted documents on what's called proportionality. You're hearing that phrase when the war engagement begins. Then we have the situation domestically with students, and we're helping those students here. At the same time, you're getting this broadcast 5 days a week. And we're able to give you, and Logan, the amount of content we're putting out on this is pretty breathtaking, the amount of information we're putting out.
That's right. You can go to aclj.org to see all this information and all the great content that's being produced here, whether that's the written word, blogs, articles that come out each and every day, whether that's incredible video content that's released on Rumble, on YouTube, or just directly on aclj.org. There is so much content, free content, not behind a paywall, that is ready for you to not only take in yourself, ingest it, read it, watch it, get informed, but also, again, unlike a lot of sources, not behind a paywall. You can take that, copy, paste, send it to your friend. All of a sudden, you have another friend informed of what's happening. That is something we do here at the ACLJ and specifically in our media department. And we're discussing projects. Sure, there are certain products or projects that, you know, require some form of payment. But for our, in terms of our website, in terms of aclj.org, in terms of the short form content we put out on YouTube, the content we put out on Rumble, there's a reason we're all there and not behind a paywall. Some of that is because we have ACLJ champions. Yes, you are a recurring supporter. Why are you a recurring supporter? So we can get this information into the hands of people who actually need it, not just an echo chamber. It will actually go to people who need it. And you can take this, you know, take it to your dinner party, find out some more information, or take that, copy it, send it to your friend who needs to be more informed of what's going on in Israel. You've seen how many memes, how many people have posted, I just don't know, I'm trying to keep myself informed about what's going on. Well, we have that data. If they want to see it, we got the information for them. They can't hide behind that little, you know, fun little colloquialism right now of, you know, I just don't know all the complexities of it. You can find it all on aclj.org, but we can't create all that content because look, we have our great legal fights. We also have our media, you know, side that really has it's a massive group of people creating incredible content. We can't do that without you becoming an ACLJ champion as well, because look, we can do a lot in the courtrooms, but we can do a lot when it turns to impacting people through media.
Yeah, and in that regard, we want to encourage you to become an ACLJ champion. You're standing with Israel. That letter to Benjamin Netanyahu was delivered today. Hamas at the southern border, which is what we're talking about in the next segment. ACLJ on top of that. We're already in federal court on that issue. We are tirelessly working to defend Israel and defend the Jewish people. Your support makes a big difference. As Logan said, become an ACLJ champion. Here's what we've got. We have 15,000 when we started in the campaign. We had 15,000 champions. We are now at 16,000, probably getting close to 17,000, I guess, by the end of the month. Become a champion. Just go to aclj.org/champion. That means you're a monthly donor to the ACLJ, and you really help us budget and plan, especially for these emergency situations. aclj.org/champions. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110 when we come back. Hey, welcome back. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I mentioned that our European Center for Law and Justice has been hard at work, both in the Council of Europe and at the European Parliament. I'm holding in my hands. Do we have this in the screen so we could show it to people? Okay, we're getting it. We put forward through members of the European Parliament, a resolution on Hamas very specifically. And let me tell you what's highlighted here. What I'm going to highlight for you is what we got, what we sought in this lengthy declaration. One is that the terrorist group Hamas did this as an attack, so that it was an act of war. So that's in there. Number two, that Hamas has repeatedly called for the immediate unconditional, that the EU is calling for the immediate and unconditional release of all the hostages held in Gaza. So that's another thing we asked for. We also asked that there was a lot of, as Logan was talking about, this kind of misinformation was out there, that there should be no tolerance for terrorism. The glorification of violence of those calling for the destruction of Israel and Jewish life violates European standards of under the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. That's in there as well. Recognizes Israel's right to self-defense. Let me tell you, if that's all we were able to accomplish, that one line, recognizing Israel's right to self-defense, this would have been a huge win. And it not only recognizes Israel's right to self-defense, but it says as enshrined in international law. So this was a very successful activity out in the European Parliament. So then there's the financial assistance, which in this it says it urges the Commission to initiate a thorough review of all EU financial assistance to Palestine and the region in order to ensure that no EU funds directly or indirectly finance any terrorist organization. All of that's positive. All of that's good. The difficulty here is, and I'm going to segue this into what's going on our southern border. So this was a very good resolution in Europe taking the right action. Meanwhile, Harry, on our southern border, we know that we've had infiltration of terrorists, people on the 167 on the terrorist watch list. We know that they caught them. Two of them were caught, and Homeland Security posted that they caught these two, and then the FBI made them take it down. We're in litigation and have successfully gotten information about why they took it down. It was against their narrative. But now the San Diego office has put this out.
Absolutely. So it's very, very important for listeners to note that there has been a rise in individuals crossing our border illegally that are on the terror watch list. And one of the real questions, of course, is why is this happening? Well, it's been happening for years, particularly under the Biden administration. Since 2015, Joe Biden has sought to change America and to change American values through an open borders policy, coupled with an unrelenting stream of immigration. This approach, in my opinion, is nothing less than an invitation to a disaster. And one of the things that's important for listeners to note is that the Customs and Border Patrol officials are now saying we need to be on the alert for an infiltration of Hamas and Hezbollah sympathizers. Well, they should have been on alert years and years ago, because individuals that operate within a terror framework, they become part of a cell, but often they insert themselves in a country years and years ahead of when a terror attack occurs. Meanwhile, the Biden administration has blinded itself to this possibility. Why? Because they are pursuing an open border policy. In other words, they want to convert all Americans into anywhere people. People from anywhere, with any jurisdiction, with any values, and they want to basically diminish the political power of somewhere people. What do I mean by somewhere people? Those are individuals that have ties to West Virginia, Cumberland, Maryland, East Palestine, Ohio. Those are the people that the Biden administration, in my opinion, hate. And so one of the ways of overcoming their politics and their values is to offer an open border initiative.
Well, look, and we have done the litigation in federal court to get to the bottom of this, and we've already gotten documents, and we're starting to get to the bottom of it. And what we're finding out is the FBI did not like the narrative out there that there were terrorists, CC, coming in through the border. But that's why our FOIA litigation is so important. It's painstaking, folks, because it's thousands and thousands of documents. And you got to go to federal court multiple times, but it is absolutely essential.
Yeah, and we know that terrorists are coming across our border, and that's why we did the FOIA asking for, okay, what's going on here? We want to know these results. And after you go to court and after you force them, literally force them to answer, then we actually see the answers, and we see that there are terrorists coming across the border. And we see that even when a border office says, hey, we caught two terrorists, which you'd think is a great thing, the FBI doesn't want that out there because they don't want to admit that there are terrorists freely crossing.
Yeah, and now the Southwest office has been put on alert, which I'm not knocking them for being on alert. I mean, I think it was the right thing to do. But again, this is the counter narrative. So, you know, you've got fentanyl coming over the border. That's a problem. You have sex trafficking, that's a problem. You have terrorists, that's a problem. So isn't the answer border security and knowing who's coming into your country? I would think that would be the straightforward answer, Logan, in all of this. We're getting calls at 800-684-3110. I do want to say this. There is this concern, and we're going to get to those calls. So if you're on the line, hang in there. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. There is this concern, though, also in all of this, that this war intensity is about to increase because of the situation in Gaza. There's not been an incursion yet. There's been bomb strikes, but there's been no troops in, and there's about 250,000 troops.
It keeps feeling like there's going to be, and you feel like it's about to happen, and then for some reason it hasn't.
Well, it's not because they're trying to get hostages out. Let's be clear what it is. I mean, this is not secret. There's four were left. There's now up to two, but here's the problem.
They're adding more.
220, now it's 225 that we know of. And you know some of those are not still alive. So, I mean, it's just the nature of this. So they've allowed for it. Hamas is going to use this as long as they can. At some point, you're going to have to take military action. Now, we'll get into that. But there's also this concern about Iran. Wolf Blitzer asked this question to Admiral Kirby. Now, Admiral Kirby, thank him for his service to the United States, but is not exactly a confidence builder when he gets behind that podium. Take a listen.
So is a U.S. war against Iran possible?
I think what we want to see more than anything, Wolf, is no widening of this conflict, no deepening of it. And we continue to send a strong message to actors in the region, including Iran, that if you're thinking about jumping in here, you're thinking about deepening and widening and escalating, don't do it. We will take our national security interests very, very seriously in the region. And we've added to the military capabilities to make sure that we can do that.
We really need to topple the regime in Iran, if we're being honest. Okay. They're the state sponsor of terrorism. We did a whole movie on this called The Export. You should look it up. It's on acljfilms.org. It lays it all out. And we spoke to the experts. Now, I will say this. Antony Blinken at the United Nations just issued a very strong statement. And listen, when they do something right, the Biden administration, I'm going to say yes. I'm saying yes to this. Play it.
We have to ask. Indeed, it must be asked. Where is the outrage? Where is the revulsion? Where is the rejection? Where is the explicit condemnation of these horrors? We must affirm the right of any nation to defend itself and to prevent such horror from repeating itself. No member of this council, no nation in this entire body could or would tolerate the slaughter of its people.
I want to thank the Secretary of State. And if those of you that are watching this broadcast, I can't believe Jay Sekulow is saying something good about Antony Blinken. That was a very strong statement on the floor of the United Nations. And it needed to be said, because this is the problem with this. You saw that change, that shift that Logan talked about that's been happening for years. But you also saw the media shift when the hospital situation happened. I will say that CNN has been better in its coverage than I thought for the most part. I think Fox is certainly leading it. Their evening coverage on this has been phenomenal. I haven't watched MSNBC's on this, and I don't care to. But I'm just saying that the Iran component to this, coupled with the fact that there's not been a ground invasion, Harry at this point says that how this is being perceived is going to be, it's going to change.
Well, I think that's correct. And I also think the longer Israel waits, and maybe they have to wait,
yep,
The tougher the public relations environment,
yes,
is going to be. You have plenty of individuals in the United States alone who are pushing for, quote unquote, a ceasefire. In other words, they don't want Israel to respond. They want to deprive Israel of the right to respond. And I think most Americans reject that particular position, but it's important to keep in mind that the elites who control many of the most powerful institutions in America, they would prefer Israel to simply issue a ceasefire.
That's and they're in no position to do that. I will say this. We are in the position, though, and it's gaining in momentum to get to in next year at this time. I'm hopefully going to be announced that we're close to 30,000 ACLJ champions. Those of you that donate each and every month to the ACLJ, you become an ACLJ champion. Just hit recurring. It's very easy to do on our website. You stand with Israel. Be a champion for life, liberty, and freedom in so many of these issues. ACLJ.org/champions. We've talked about Hamas at the southern border. We've talked about what we're doing, the letter we just sent to Benjamin Netanyahu. We've talked about the FOIA litigation we're involved in, defending students. That's just on this topic. We're also at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on life. Stand with us. Become an ACLJ champion today at ACLJ.org/champions. If you want to talk to us, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110.
Welcome back to Secular. We're going to take all the calls we can, so give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Kind of the last chance to get yourself on the air, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to John, who's calling in Tennessee on line three. John, you're on the air.
I just want to have a quick comment regarding the Lyft supporting Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization. I know that for a fact because I moved from the Middle East to the U.S. I've been living here for over 10 years. I'm from Egypt originally. They are part of the Muslim Brotherhood that Egypt's been trying to get rid of. Our movement, all they do is just terrorist acts, killing people, burning churches. That happened in Egypt, explosions in churches. We had people died in my town because of the Muslim Brotherhood after the Egyptian Revolution. What Egypt's been doing has been cutting off the tunnels from Gaza to prevent those Hamas terrorists from infiltrating Sinai Peninsula and having a terrorist act in Egypt. So to the left, whoever supporting Hamas, they're terrorists, period.
John,
John,
I appreciate your call. I've got a lot of Egyptian friends, and they say the same thing. And President El-Sisi does not want to let a lot of people in from Gaza into Egypt because he doesn't know who he's letting in. And you know what? I can't blame him. They're letting some aid trucks, but they're even worried about that because they don't know who's going to be in those trucks, who's going to come out in those trucks. So there's it's a very complicated situation, but you're 100% correct. The Arab population in the Middle East is not supportive of Hamas. But when they get in control and they have 300,000 supporters that are weaponized literally with guns, they bring terror to their own citizens in Gaza and are the recognized government. So at the end of the day, I don't see any way that Israel can succeed without toppling that regime. Hamas has to be eliminated. And that's what the European Parliament said too, which is something we went and worked on. But I don't see that as there's no other choice.
No, and that's what the law of proportionality actually says, too.
Yeah.
You have to eliminate the threat, and the threat was Hamas. So that is Israel's right, and they should take it.
And that is actually what the law of proportionality is. Not, you know, you did this, so we do that. That's not how it works. Because you've got to understand international law, which we do at the ACLJ. Let's take another call.
All right, let's go to Whitney, who's calling in Texas, watching on Rumble. Thanks, Whitney, for watching on Rumble. You're on the air.
Thanks so much. Sure. I went to a university in New York City where we had so many Jewish students that we had a kosher meal plan. And yet that's one of the universities where anti-Semitism is erupting. And I think these kids have an idea of how the world is or how it should be with absolutely no experience in the world. And here's the truth. I was in Germany 3 days ago sitting at a table with a man whose grandfather was a soldier in the Nazi party. And on the other side, I had a friend who was a Jewish German whose grandparents had fled Nazi Germany. And I said to them at the table, as an American politically and as a Christian spiritually, I stand with Israel. And that was not a controversial statement. The entire table was in agreement. And that's in Germany. That's in Europe.
Yeah,
that's how the world feels.
Yeah, let me tell you this, Whitney. The Chancellor of Germany has been very strong.
They felt it a lot closer.
Yeah.
And I think it's different also. So Americans, it still feels a little disconnected.
Well, I think Germany, in the, because of that particular history with the Nazi regime, has been very supportive of the state of Israel. But they said this idea that's floating through Europe of containment, de-escalation. I mean, there has not even been an escalation yet, folks. Let me tell you what's coming here. Okay, there's not been an escalation, let alone there's nothing to de-escalate from right now. But the Germans said, no, Israel has to defend itself. And so did the European Parliament. Can we put that on the screen? I want to brag about our offices in Strasbourg, France, which if you're an ACLJ champion, you are helping support, got a tremendous resolution from the European Parliament backing Israel, calling for self-defense, calling for the defunding of Hamas, recognizing that what Hamas did violated international law. And our team did a great job on that, and we're thrilled. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, who's next?
All right, continue on. Joe, I was watching on YouTube in New York on line 6. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my question, and God bless you all involved with ACLJ for what you do day in, day out.
Appreciate that, Joe.
Should Jewish college students invoke in a sit-in or a strike against their colleges?
You know, this is an interesting question, and the student leadership have so far, all they've wanted to do is actually just vocalize in peaceful areas, in the free speech zones on campuses, handing out flyers that were pro-Israel. Some of these students didn't do anything other than not support the pro-Hamas groups. So I don't know if calling for a strike or a sit-in, that the students have to decide that. I don't think these students want to disrupt what's going on the campus. They just want to be protected.
Yeah, maybe they should, but I know that a lot of them are also very nervous. I have a lot of friends who are faculty even who are very nervous just being on the college campuses, are doing things packing their book bags, you know, with ballistic, you know, protection. I mean, that's legitimately what's happening to these students and to these teachers, because there are obviously, for as many liberal, anti-Israel, anti-Zionist teachers, there are a handful that are clearly on your side. Those are the ones who are the most concerned, because if they've spoken vocally, then you have these groups come out who are aggressive in numbers. They're nervous about what can happen.
And some of their teachers that are on their side are aggressive in their actions. And the Jewish students, and that we represent both students and teachers, are just trying to get the position out. That's it. So that's protected speech.
Absolutely. And sometimes they're just trying to go to school without being harassed.
Right.
They just want to live. Almost that is exactly what Israel wants to do. Just let us live our lives peacefully. And that is what Hamas and the rest of the terrorist Arabs are trying to absolutely just wipe them out.
We were supposed to talk about the GOP Speaker of the House. And let me tell you something. Folks, GOP, get it together, man. Okay. You got work to do for the American people. This is absurd. This is it's a fiasco. Pick a speaker, okay? Pick a speaker. Matt Gaetz successfully burned down, and I'm condemning this, not in favor of it. I think he burned down the House of Representatives. And any of you that think this is a good thing, if we lose control, which is possible that Republicans lose control of the House of Representatives, blame it on Matt Gaetz. Because this is absurd. We cannot get a Speaker of the House. So they're going to have to cut a deal with the Democrats to get a Speaker of the House. Great. When you start a battle, you better know how you're going to end it. Now, I think part of what's going on in Israel right now is that dilemma. Logan, you asked about the incursion, the ground incursion, because people expected it.
Yeah, every time it feels like they're hyping you up for it, and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah, and well, you got three factors going on. One is the hostages. That's clearly a big factor. Number two is making sure the resources and capabilities are in there and that you're able to protect your other borders, which would be the north with Hezbollah and to the West Bank with the Palestinian Authority and Islamic Jihad coming out of there. But there's another one, and that is you have to know what the end game is. I don't know if Israel's determined how to handle Hamas or how to handle Gaza once Hamas is left and gone. You're going to trust this to the Palestinian Authority? But time is running out because world patience on this is going to run out. And I think that the government's in a tough position. And I support Benjamin Netanyahu's government, as every Israeli does right now. That doesn't mean they agree with the positions, but there is a war government in place, and they're trying to do the right thing. We can't second guess what their generals are telling them. But what I can do is thank you if you've joined the ACLJ as an ACLJ champion, which almost 1,700 of you have just this month. And my goal is by the end of the month to announce that we have 2,000 of you. And then we're going to try to get to, the goal here is to get to an additional 15,000 ACLJ champions by next year. Those are people that are standing with the ACLJ every month. And when you go to aclj.org/champions, you could hit whatever your donation amount is, $10, $20, $30, $40, whatever it is, and just hit monthly. And then you be automatically become an ACLJ champion. If you're already part of that group, we thank you. If you're not, go to aclj.org/champions and become an ACLJ champion today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.